Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on October 14th, 2021, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. We're going to talk about a topic we just love these days. We're so into it, social-emotional learning, and how it fits into, needs to be embedded into literacy instruction. And as we're talking about that, I have exactly the right people who are the experts in the field. Dr. Debbie Crimmins is the Senior VP of Customer Advocacy over at my good friends Achieve 3000, and she works with my other guest, their Director of Customer Advocacy, Bobby Bear. And both of them will be here today to talk about integrating and embedding SEL, social-emotional learning, into literacy instruction. That's going to be a great show. We're going to archive, as we always do, over at ace-ed.org. That's our consortium for equity, and it's where our magazine, Equity and Access, is located, our online journal. Thank you all for going over there and enjoying it, all the nice things we hear about it. All our podcasts are over there, et cetera. We have started a new site, which is why I'm so excited about doing the show today, all about social emotional learning, and that's called SEL Today. It's linked from our equity site, okay? But if you want to go over there directly, it's seltoday.org, and we will also archive this show over there, seltoday.org. So that's your homework. You always give it to the kids. Now it's time for you to go check out seltoday.org and, of course, the new magazine, Equity and Access, over at ace-ed.org. And that's enough about what we do here. I hope you're interested in it. Let's find out what's going on over at Achieve 3000 and hear their incredible expertise. Dr. Debbie, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Larry. How are you today?
I am fine, Deb. How you doing?
We're doing great. I'm joined with Bobby. Thanks so much for having us. This is a topic we're pretty passionate about, so we so appreciate the opportunity to chat with you this morning.
Okay, I'm thrilled to have you both here. Good morning, Bobby.
Good morning, Larry. We are really delighted to be here. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure. And, Bobby, be sure to talk right into your phone so everybody can hear every word that you say. Okay?
I want
them to understand.
Got it,
Larry. There you go. Boy, you are a good listener. Thank you. Thank you. That was great.
She is. Bobby's got the voice, Larry. Bobby has got the voice.
Incredible. I love that. Okay, that was great. All right. Before we go further, I just want to make note. There is a National Literacy Summit coming up. I understand one of their great speakers is, I don't know if anybody knows her, Dr. Debbie Crimmins. Do either of you two know her? She's going to be speaking there.
I'm vaguely familiar.
I don't know how they got her. It's unbelievable, okay? Deb, I'll swing this over to you. I just want to get this straight. Hold on. The summit, I just want to push it a little bit because it's really good because literacy is what it's all about. It's a virtual summit, November 9th, 2021. It's 8:30 a.m., 7 p.m., and you can go over. I just do Literacy Summit. I'll put this up on site for everybody. literacysummit.cvent.events.com, or just Google the whole thing. Literacy Summit, November 9th. National Literacy Summit. Is that good? Deb, tell us what's going to happen.
You got it, boy.
Yeah, just tell us. Give us
incredible.
A quick overview of yours. Yeah, and what are you going to talk about?
Absolutely. Well, you know, we're really talking about some of the same principles that you're covering today. How do you build a culture and how do you build community and how you build that connectedness with students and teachers and parents in the community, even with what we've been facing in the last year and a half. Our district partners who are presenting with us, Larry, incredible. Their passion is there. Their strategy is there. They're coached so well and in partnership with folks like Bobby and other parts of the customer advocacy team. What's great about the summit is that you can attend virtually and you can feel like, Larry, you're actually at a conference. You have the opportunity to learn from keynote speakers. You have resources that are sent to you virtually. You get to connect with others. I think we have, Larry, almost 1,000 people already registered. So
I'm not surprised. We miss
the in-person, right? We miss that face-to-face. It actually gives people from around the world more of an opportunity to connect.
That's right.
So we're really excited about November 9th. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think we've all gotten used to virtual. And, of course, everybody likes face-to-face. We do like that. I'm talking about professionally here. All right, but what you said is accurate. Suddenly that person in Utah whose school district doesn't have the budget to send them to wherever it might be can attend. All right, it's that simple.
Absolutely.
Okay, or that person, if I may, in the Ukraine. And I'll only use places that begin with U, Utah and Ukraine. Okay, that was an accident. It just happened, but I just realized. All right, so only places that begin with U. No, I'm only kidding. All right, but seriously, all right, it's really good. And again, check it out. I just put the link up on site, so as you listen to the show, you'll be able to see it in the show description, okay, and people can check it out. But we'll remind them again at the end of the show. How's that sound? Is that good? And you'll be able to hear Dr. Debbie Grimmins talk about this. SEL. Okay, this is big for us. We just started our SELtoday.org site, and I hope you guys go over there, check it out. It's really cool. All right, and it's an enormous topic. Okay, it covers a million things. You're probably going to talk about this at the Literacy Summit. But my question is, what's important to me, and you folks at Achieve 3000, I love talking to you because you're on top of this stuff. There are companies that just do SEL curriculum, and that's just fine. But the challenge is to embed SEL into everything, into a school culture. Okay, because if we do that, especially in this crazy day and age we live in, we're going to have much more resilient kids. So, Deb, I'm going to start with you, but if you want to pass this to Bobby, you certainly can. It's an enormous topic. Talk about how you guys are doing this and the why behind it. What did you see that motivated you, okay, to put SEL and really make it I'll call it a selling point, but an important point for people to recognize that they purchased new products this year. Deb.
Well, I think Larry, we're going to take you on with Achieve. You're coming with us because you just explained it perfectly.
Well, that concludes our show today, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming.
Did I steal your – I didn't mean to steal your thunder there, okay?
Well, no, but
it's so important
what I love,
to me.
It is. And what I love, seriously, is that you just really explained it. And, you know, we understood that, you know, as we partner with districts across the country, that everyone needs really high-quality curriculum. That is a no-brainer. They need good content. They need content that motivates kids. They need content that represents the diversity that we have with our districts and our students. But that we need more. We need not just, you know, the content, but we need the way of how do we help our kids to collaborate on that content? How do we get kids how to communicate? How do we get kids to feel empathy? How do we get kids and adults even to be able to use content as a vehicle for building those social and emotional skills, so to speak? And so rather than developing a package of what we would call SEL, Achieve 3000 from Stuart Udell's leadership as our CEO to the whole group. You've met Kevin Baird, our CAO. Bobby today, our whole team. It's really about what do we do with that content to be a good partner to districts? How do we grow kids and communities and parent relationships? And I think that's what you'll find in all of the things that we do with those different kind of initiatives that we work on with districts. We can provide really good content, but what we do with it, and I think that's what Bobby, as she'll share some of her experiences with the districts that she partners with today, you know, we really look at what do we do to grow that emotional kind of, kind of side, the affective side of students, right, rather than just the academic and only tested side for students.
And Deb, it's easy, and I agree with you 100% on all that, but I am sure, and this is key, We the industry, okay, you and I, the three of us, okay, understand that. What are you hearing? And I'm just going to – I don't know if it's you or Bobby, so I'll throw it out there. What are you hearing from school districts about their need to have ESL through the whole school ESL, SEL through the whole school culture? Okay, Bobby, you're
the one. Bobby's got this one. Yeah,
Bobby, you got it. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's one time. It's just really one word, Larry, and it's time. It's where do we find the time to really successfully integrate this into our school day? And, you know, I really like what you said earlier, and, you know, to each his own, certainly, but we can buy very specific social emotional learning programs, et cetera. But if it's being used as a standalone, then it's just a standalone. It's something extra. So I think that integration is so important.
Exactly.
And so in terms of time, I think the beautiful thing with the work that we've been doing with school districts is that they're not only getting that opportunity to really embrace that social emotional learning, but also fuel literacy. Because let's be honest, literacy is everything, coupled with, of course, you know, SEL. And so I think the beautiful thing that we're seeing in the districts that are really finding success is that in no way, shape, or form are they stopping, dropping, and having SEL time. But instead, it's just embedded within their school culture, and it's giving them that time, and it's yielding growth results in terms of students' lexiles and in terms of their reading confidence. And so that's something that we spend a lot of time doing, is how can the content within our platform really be supporting that kind of really successful integration?
I mean, it's just so important. And there's another side of it. You know, this is very important for kids. And Bobby, you touched on this. Time is one thing, where's the SEL in school? Oh, we do it for 10 minutes every Thursday in homeroom, okay? And that's not the way to do it, okay? Believe me, that's not the way to do it, okay? As we can all figure that out, all right? But the other challenge, and this is what I love because I know your products, all right? Teachers, we're asking teachers to teach SEL through the school district to practice SEL through their work and through their subject teaching. And that's a difficult thing because they've never been trained in it. And that's why what you folks are doing, and again, you're literacy advocates, and I always say it's literacy and being good citizens are the two things that the whole public school system was set up for, all right? And if we can help teachers teach something that they're not familiar with, and I'm going to get a little deeper in this, all right, that's an incredible thing, and it's something, you know, that every school district needs to know. And on that note, let me go back to Deb. Deb, how is SEL, if I may, just give us an example, if you can, embedded into what you do. Just give people an example of it, the first one that pops to mind.
Yeah, I think about our content, Larry, with Achieve Literacy, and how we really want students, before they even dive into reading, right, to be able to think about the text they're going to read about and to, you know, almost build background knowledge, not just activate it. But, you know, we start with sometimes a question, almost a poll question or a discussion question that allows them to think about how they see themselves and maybe what they're about to read, or how they might act differently in that situation. And then how they, as they read, they might change their opinion and what that looks like. Almost, you know, when you think about self-awareness or you think about self-management, all the principles of SEL, you know, those could sound lofty to your point, right? Like, who was taught how to do that? I wasn't. I got a bachelor's degree in secondary English ed. Nobody taught me how to help my students have self-awareness, right? We were to teach the classics and lots of canon literature back in that day. I won't date myself, right? But what we're doing with our content and our resources is maybe, you know, if you don't have that training, to your point, Larry, we can help teachers engage kids in that kind of collaboration and that conversation. And they don't even know that we're embedding SEL that way, right? That is part of getting kids to have conversations, see themselves. It's right there. Absolutely.
Right, perfect point. It doesn't become separate. It becomes part and parcel. It becomes routine. Okay, and that's what we have to do. And I had no idea you were an English teacher, Deb. Could you do my? I still owe a book report. Okay, I'm a 12th grade teacher on The Mill on the Floss by I think George Sand. Could you finish that up for me? Okay,
I'll get that done for you. I've been trying to
finish it for years. Okay, it's really an excellent book. I won't say any more about Mill on the Floss. Oh, my God. I think literally she went into the supply closet and dug so deep in the supply closet, and she finally found 30 copies of something. And that's the book we had to read, Mill on the Floss. So,
sounds pretty familiar. I remember those days. Yeah.
And socially emotionally, I'm very upset that I have not finished the book report yet. So please, this would be very helpful.
There you go.
Okay. Bobby, okay, I want to ask you, I think this is correct, and you worked a little deeper with the districts, per se, that are using Achieve 3000 and all this. You're probably advising them on how the SEL fits in and all that, and you've seen some good examples, I believe, of the districts you work with, okay, using and teaching SEL, understanding how important this is and what it means. Can you give us literal examples of how districts are working from what you've seen? And you feel free to name the districts. Yeah.
Absolutely, because I think, quite frankly, they all deserve a shout out for, you know, the really beautiful work that they're doing. In its most simplistic form, I think about one of our partner districts in New Jersey where the pandemic hit and students were so very isolated. And in a district that really thrives on building community, they really had to think about, okay, what's this going to look like now that those kiddos' bodies aren't in our classrooms? We're not able to kind of wrap around them that way. They're sitting at home. And so, and this is, again, you know, the most simplistic example, but the superintendent, you figure the individual in the district with just so much in his hands as the district was forced to go remote, what he did was every week he posted something for the students to share just to build that community. The first week it was, hey, I'm working from home too, just like you are. And this is my learning buddy. And he took a picture of his dog or his cat. I don't even remember right now. And then he encouraged everyone in the district to post a picture of them with their pet sitting and learning.
Great.
And it really was aimed to just say, hey, let's all come back together. So, you know, doesn't necessarily have that literacy focus, it was just that way that, you know, that community was being built so that the students really felt like they were part of something. And certainly he did things like, you know, in one word, hashtag, how you would define our school district, et cetera, and posted everywhere. So that was something, you know, really, really beautiful. I think about another school district. This is Wilson County, which is in Tennessee, and they're a district that we have the pleasure of working with, you know, just throughout the course of the year. They're really innovative educators, but they're also a school district that went through a tremendous amount of trauma. There was a tornado.
Isn't that the district they had the flood? They had the flood. Is that the right district?
They had a tornado that came through.
That's
and
what it is.
A tornado came through, you got it, and flattened one of the school buildings. And, you know, really kind of coming back from that. They also, almost immediately following the tornado, then COVID hit. So this was a district that...
Remember this.
Those students were really feeling this. And so... One high school within Wilson, they put their heads together and working with us, and we've showcased their work. They essentially pulled really great high-interest content from our platform focused on social-emotional learning topics, empathy, trauma, et cetera.
Wow.
And they used it for students to be reading those texts. And as you know, Larry, in the Achieve platform, they're not only reading those text very much focused on what's happening in their lives, quite frankly, but also they're reading it at their differentiated reading level. So you've got that equity coupled with the SEL that's happening. And then what was so beautiful is that the students weren't just reading the text. What those teachers had those students do is read and then do some personal reflection on how does this text that I just read, how does it connect to me? How does it connect to my life and what I'm thinking and feeling and going through? And then they took it to the next level. And Debbie actually touched on this briefly too. And it's that discussion piece. First of all, when it comes to discussion, what do we know? If students talk to one another about what they have read, it drives up their reading comprehension and confidence. So you've got that opportunity for students to then take what they read and now talk about it to really just engage their comprehension. But it also had that secondary offering, which was, I am sitting and I am talking to those who are thinking and feeling somewhat what I'm thinking and feeling. It's something that we've read. Instead of just sitting down and saying, hey, how are you feeling today? Which, again, is beautiful. But let's be really honest about students. Can we really get them to do that effectively? But instead, by using that text to fuel those conversations, what that's doing is it's engaging students in that critical discussion, which is a really important part of building those social-emotional skills.
Yeah.
And also getting them to really think about what they read. And so what Wilson County was doing, it was the proverbial twofer. It was giving those students an opportunity to just engage with one another and talk about what they're going through, but then also drive their comprehension. And I'm delighted to share that Wilson County has some of the most amazing growth results, not
yeah.
just from the work that they're doing with SEL, but just how they embrace literacy as a whole.
And your point is well taken. And Wilson County is a good example. They had the tornado. I remembered some natural disaster, tornado.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that leveled the building. I think I had their superintendent on the show at one point. Okay, I'm pretty sure I did. And then they had COVID hit. All right, and
yep.
the teachers are still responsible to teach kids academic subjects, but kids cannot think. No one can, on academic subjects when you're involved in so many traumatic events, okay?
Exactly.
And add to that just the nature of the world these days, the mix-up, the politics, the chaos that's involved. And so in order to teach kids academic subjects and literacy, if I may, in this case, all right, we have to understand their social-emotional needs, and we have to use that understanding to break through, okay, so that we can actually teach them something. In other words, the SEL leads to academic awareness, all right? And I think what you guys are doing is so important to recognize this and pushing it, okay, with the school districts, and they're pushing it with you, saying we need this, we understand this, that it's a crazy time these days. You know, I just think it's so incredibly important. And, on that note, you know, that whole community went through trauma. And the parents had the kids at home, and hopefully they're back now and safe and all that sort of thing. Talk about just, if you can, Deb, you might be the expert on this, okay, a family engagement, how community engagement, however you want to say that, SEL at working with the schools. It's really an important time to do that.
You really, we mean this sincerely, Larry. It's so good to hear you talk about these pieces the way that you are even kind of outlining them. Because if you've got that piece in place, right, that safety, that safe learning environment, whether it's virtual or whether it's in person, whether it's in the home or in the school, think about all the things that you can learn, right? If you feel safe, if you feel like someone understands
yeah.
you, if you feel like you can start working on that resiliency, I think this is part of what Achieve's always been known for, is that we know
yeah.
that literacy
Agreed.
Is not just in school. It's at home. It's, you know, it's Bobby going next week even to work with families and parents in community nights. And how do we get parents involved in having these conversations at whatever that dinner table looks like at home, right? How do we get parents involved with talking to their students or their children, their kids, their whoever their caretakers are, right, their caregivers? How do we get them all talking about the things they're reading and they're experiencing and they're feeling? And that's part of what that community focus has always been with Achieve. You know, we want parents using Achieve literacy as much as we want the kids. And by the way, they do.
Mm-hmm.
They participate side by side with their children
yep.
at night,
yep.
right? And they work on not only their own skills that they might need help in working on. You know, through our career center, we have opportunities for even our older students and our parents to look for real-world jobs, real-world Lexile needs for those careers that they're interested in. Language supports for second language learners. So that idea of literacy and that social emotional connection that's provided, you know, we're almost the liaison, we're the tool that can help parents and communities do that. And that, I think, that's a real big piece, I think, as a company we're proud of, is that when we talk about that,
yep.
we really walk that talk. We want to work
you
with
do.
Parents. We
you
want,
do.
You know, we want to have that feedback, right? I mean, Bobby, I think you're there next week. I think if I'm remembering your schedule correctly, you're on the road.
I am. And speaking of Tennessee, I'm going to Tennessee. And
are you going
doing
to Wilson?
Exactly what Debbie. No,
are you going to Wilson?
Unfortunately, no. I'm going to another school district. It's Lawrence County.
I can't keep track
which is down
of Bobby
in the
Bear. She's all over Tennessee. She's everywhere.
More southern Tennessee, about an hour and a half from Wilson. And really what we're doing is just, you know, through all of their school leadership, you know, there's family nights. And, yes, some have
yeah.
a very kind of fun spin involving
hey.
Trunk or treat, et cetera. But what's also going to happen is those parents can come by and talk with myself or one of my Achieve colleagues about, okay,
So I know my student is using this at school. How can I support at home? And,
yeah.
you know, with parents, we're not getting really, really, really deep in the weeds with what Alexile is, et cetera. And while it's interesting information to know, we think the more powerful thing is if your student reads something, what can a conversation with them look like without you having to sit and read it in its entirety? How can you at home fuel their comprehension with just a few fairly simplistic but really impactful questions? And so that's going to really be at the heart of the work that we're doing, both with the CHI 3000 Literacy, but also for those younger learners that are just emerging readers that are using our K to 2 or pre-K through 2 platform is,
yeah.
you know, what can that look like at home? In terms of using that. And, you know, I think, and Debbie mentioned the Career Center. In the Achieve 3000 platform, there's this beautiful opportunity for students to really engage that growth mindset, which, again, is such an important part of SEL as, you know, preparing for, you know, graduating and becoming an adult. And that is that, how do I engage my growth mindset and really work towards something so that I really feel and see that success? And so in our Career Center, what students are able to do is identify a top career choice. Once they've identified that top career choice, then they're able to really track from month to month, am I growing towards the reading requirements of that specific career? Now, certainly, this can have, you know, the most impact with our secondary students, but our elementary kiddos use it as well, just simply so that they see,
absolutely.
Hey, this is why engaging in literacy right now is so important.
Yeah.
And one of the things we're seeing happening a lot now with using that type of student data and kind of conversation pieces is that parents are brought in to, instead of doing a very traditional parent-teacher conference, which we all know so very well, instead it's student-led. It's the kiddo sitting with the teacher and a member of their family and saying, here's where I am. And
wow.
in terms of my reading level,
wow.
here's
I like
where
that.
I am. And so because of that.
Larry, in that. And I, and Bobby and I interrupt each other all the time, but we do it with love because we're that close. Think, Larry, how different what she's describing is than when we went through this and we had those books assigned to us, right? And we
absolutely.
We had to read those tests. I never did that, by the way. I did not assign those books. But what
try to get out of it,
Deb.
Go ahead. Try to get out of it. I know. I got
I'm defending English teachers across the country right now. We've learned. But think of what Bobby's describing. Like that is the way we want kids to do what she just said and experience this is where I am, right? Like I watch Bobby and the team do this with kids that are driving the conversation going, hey, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to do football or I want to do whatever it is. I want to do scientist. I know what my Lexile is right now. And mom, dad, caregiver, teacher, Bobby, let me tell you about where I am in my reading. I mean, blows my mind that we're doing this and that we're able to do this now. And Bobby, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, but I want people to know the kind of work that you're doing and what a dramatic shift that is in the way we might have traditionally looked at a language arts experience or an English experience, right?
It's absolutely. It's about let's not just talk about the student's data, but let's have the student talk about, and I don't really necessarily like to use the word data whenever we talk about students talking about themselves, but let's have students look at where they are and develop goals and really talk openly about, hey, this is where I struggle because this is where I'm struggling. This is what I want to make happen, and this is the help that I'll need. Certainly, a student's going to need a helping hand along the way to really, you know, identify what that is and what those steps towards success will look like. But I think, and speaking super candidly, I think once districts shut down due to COVID and teachers and students were a little isolated from one another, there were these ways that the adults were trying to find ways to really kind of connect with their students. And so we're really seeing a lot more of these almost data chats, data conversations happening where the student gets the opportunity to sit down one-on-one with that teacher where the teacher says, okay, how's it going? Show me how you grew last month. And within the Achieve 3000 platform, there's a visual Excel tracker that can be used. And we're seeing using it a lot. In fact, there's a fantastic high school in Baltimore where the teachers are doing just that. They are really pulling these kids in and finding the time to say, okay, how did last month go? How much closer did you get to your reading goal for the year? Oh, well, I see that you were kind of struggling with some of the comprehension that you were working on. And what's your plan for next month? What kind of strategies are you going to use so that you know before you tackle that activity, you are ready to go and you're going to light the world on fire? And so we're seeing that teachers are saying, I need to connect more with my kids, especially as, you know, students are a little bit in and out right now. You know, they're going from being in person to then having to go remotely. And so it's a really wonderful opportunity to kind of connect with that teacher and just have some really honest conversation, which ultimately is fueling SEL without purchasing a specific program, dedicating that 15 or 20 minutes to having a conversation about, you know, this topic or that topic. It's a beautiful infusion of SEL right there while also building those important relationships.
It is so darn important. And all that said, I want to get back to this before we go, and thank you for that, Bobby. Okay, I'll throw this to Deb again. You can decide who wants to say the National Literacy Summit. By the way, literacysummit.com. Are we going to be talking, and I know it's about literacy, please don't misunderstand, but all the things we're talking about today, is that the direction in which the Literacy Summit is going to go? And the reason I'm asking, you just described a major shift in the way we, I'll say the word assess, the way we listen, a major shift in education. All right, and as we look at literacy instruction, and I know you guys are on top of this, okay, as we have the Literacy Summit, how's the shift related to the summit? If, in fact, you see the same shift I do, I'll ask Debbie on that one. You can pass it to the other expert, Bobby,
yeah,
if you want to.
Larry, I'm telling you, Larry, and Bobby can weigh in. I always love to listen to Bobby talk about these partnerships and the, kind of the elbow-to-elbow work that she's doing. But, Larry, you read our minds. It's a little scary because as she was talking, I was thinking about the word shift, right? No, seriously. I was thinking about shift, and I was thinking about, you know, we've spent a long time, you know, and rightfully so, getting through whatever the weird wackiness of the last year and a half has been, right?
God,
you know,
God.
COVID was very real. It affected all of us personally, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, you name it. We all have gone physically. We've all been in this piece where we would talk about COVID slide, and we would talk about, you know, the ground we lost. But I think what could be coming out of this, right, what we could be coming out of this, what you just heard Bobby talk about, what you've learned from, you know, Stuart Udell and Kevin Baird and others that you've talked to in our organization, Larry, is that, you know, maybe we also learn some really great things. Maybe there's a flight that's about to happen, right? Shifts in how we use content and how we use resources to do deeper connections, deeper learning with fellow teachers, fellow students, fellow parents. I think, Larry, that really sums up the summit, that when you come to our summit and you choose from, you know, many, many sessions that you can virtually attend. And by the way, when you make that choice on that session, you can then have access to all of them recorded at a later time. Think about how cool that is, that if you're going to a physical conference, you got to make your choice. What am I going to go see and hear from 9 to 10? Not the case with the National Literacy Summit. You're going to hear more in-depth strategies from our partner districts who are joining us on the virtual stage each hour, who are talking about not only how they're looking at that social-emotional learning connection, how they're looking at building culture, how they're looking at driving outcomes, you know, with data in the way that Bobby described, how, you know, even hearing from keynote speakers who you would have to get up and get in the room like 5 hours early to go hear on best practice, right, for blended learning. I think the summit is really a summary of everything we've kind of talked and touched on today in the best way possible, where you get to attend and listen, but then you get to have access to it afterwards, and then you get to do what I know Bobby and I really value so much is take it and put it into action. How does it help you in your district? How does it help you in your classroom? How does it help you as a parent? that's maybe a good thing coming out of the next last year and a half. Ways of teaching, no more signing those books, right, Larry, out of that dusty room. No more sitting straight in the row and having, you know, answer number five and, you know, based upon your last name, who goes next in the alphabet. Like,
oh my God,
we're coming into a new way of thinking.
It's a new era.
Flashback,
it better be.
Right?
It better be, you know, it's just, there's this shift out there. We just have to make sure we go with the shift. The geological plates are changing. And it's, I hate to say it because so many people got sick, so many people died, all the economic pain, et cetera. But if we don't learn something from this pandemic, okay, and see this shift happening, like you guys are making it happen. I know you guys. All right. It's just so important. The key to this literacy summit, and you know, I hope people go over there, and I found a better website. It's literacysummit.com. That was a lot easier. Literacysummit.com. I have it linked on site. But, you know, the key to this for every school district is they're going to have a lot of other educators there. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel is already there, okay? And we're going to talk about it. You can apply these things immediately and make it make sense. All right. Deb, Bobby, we got to go. Okay, this was great.
No,
was great.
We don't want to go.
I loved it. We got to go.
We can talk about,
yeah, I can talk about this all day, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Please feel free to. I just can't have you on the podcast any longer. You're welcome. I know you guys. That's what we're going to talk about it all day. Okay?
It was a pleasure, Larry. Thank you.
That was great. It was great.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Oh, you're wonderful. Uh-huh.
All right, you guys take care. Thank you.
You too. Bye, and thank you, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, everybody. That's Bobby Baer and Dr. Debbie Crimmins from Achieve 3000. Obviously, Achieve3000.com. Let's go over all these so you can go. LiteracySummit.com. We're at ace-ed.org. And SEL, our new site is seltoday.org. There's all your homework for the week. But literacysummit.com is really very important. All right. We'll archive on, over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you, Bobby. I'll talk to you all later. Take care.